Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the world. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In today's podcast, I sort of personally believe if every single man listening in would stop sugarcoating, stop minimizing and normalizing, you know, where he's at in his marriage, this is for every single one of you. And boy, it's a much needed reminder to me. You know, the road to self-mastery, if you want to master something, teach it. This is like my bi-weekly practice doing these episodes and coaching guys and doing my inner work process now. It's just to keep bringing the flame of intentionality alive in my nervous system. You got to work at this, guys. So I really do believe it's spiritual medicine for every single man in. But I'm coming at it through the guise of sometimes the gauntlet can be put before us in life where, you know, we had a hood over our heads, you know, figuratively, metaphorically, you know, we were closed, our hearts were closed off, we weren't present, we weren't communicating, and we were, you know, crossing our fingers and our toes, hoping that we would just get through, and our queen's heart freezes over. She blocks, you know, she puts the boundaries over her heart, and she's like, sort of like with a deep feminine, fuck you. It's like, okay, that's it. From a range of the divorce papers are on your breakfast table on a Monday morning, and I know some of you guys have, you know, you're going through this, or she's putting it out there. It's like, hey, divorce is an option, is the only option, to the sort of shit has hit the fan, and you just know it's like there's a big standoff, and you've got to do the work to win your queen's heart back. Your intentionality is there, but you're in this situation where, man, like, you just don't know how to break through, and it feels like she's doing that classic feminine thing of, hey, you've hurt me. You know, you've hurt me for long enough, and yeah, you wake up now, but it ain't going to be easy, boy. So what do you do in that situation? Again, you mightn't sort of relate with that. It's like, oh, well, she hasn't put the divorce papers in front of me, and I think I'm fine, and, like, it's sort of interesting. I'll just have an interesting listen in here. It's like, call yourself out in that fucking bullshit, guys. There can be no complacency in marriage. You really got to wake... We've all individually and collectively got to wake up and really fucking smell the roses. You know, smell not just the roses, but smell the fucking shit that's around the place. Look at the weeds and see it for what it is. No man listening in can, in my observation of guys and the challenges that they're opening up with me on a daily basis in circles, on discovery calls, one-on-one clients around the world, no man can afford to dismiss any of this. I'm gonna bombard every single one of you. I really just went, it's like, okay, there's a couple of guys I've been supporting, and hey, you know, they waited that long, and divorce is really the only option that's dangling there. I sort of went at it from that. So there's a sense of urgency here. Yet no matter what your situation is, heart warriorship, you know, the warrior archetype, there's a sense of urgency. The king archetype in you, sense of urgency. It's like, you don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. And again, every single one of us, myself included, that shadow part, the conditioning of this profoundly sick society, we tend to minimize and normalize how fucking bad it is. So a sense of urgency is a good, healthy thing. So coming from that, I think, what is it? It's a beautiful full list. Is it the all comprehensive list? Man, I could have had 100 points down here, but within the limits of one power-packed epic episode, I've 16 points. Probably more points will come, but I'm going to try my level best to discipline myself and just go in and around 3 minutes per point. So it's going to be a rip-roaring ride, and I'm looking forward to having you all leaning in. Tried the whole lot, being fucking real. Point number one, when you find that you're up against it in life, to win your woman's heart back, to transform your marriage, it's a shift of identity, a radical shift of identity. is the only thing that's going to do the job. I mean, if her heart has been hurting, if she's went to the point of divorce, like the average amount of consideration that women have done before they land divorce papers is 2 years. You know, the feminine nervous system, your woman's nervous system, will really feel the hurt for a long, 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 long time, and way more intensely than you can ever realize. So if it comes to the point where she's like, she's just going dead to you, it's got to be radical. It's got to be like a new you, a godly you, like an absolute rebirth. I'm talking about caterpillar to butterfly type transformation. It can't have any remnants, you know, of your old self. You just got to sort of start looking at it as a heroic transformation or nothing but. You can't sort of do, it's like, oh, but, you know, like, but I changed that and I started, like, I put washes on, and we start, a lot of guys, and like myself include, you start scrambling to be a good boy, to be the nice boy, to help out. You know, I've done that helping. What if I double down the amount of helping? If that's not enough, well, I'll quadruple down. You start running around like I heard the metaphor one of the guys used, like a hummingbird. You're just 24/7 buzzing around the place. It ain't kingly, it ain't attractive, it's actually fucking repulsive. What's got to be birthed through you is a radical transformation of yourself. Remember, identity, your identity, the persona is the word for mask, your personality that was birthed in your childhood. Hey, that's what's under question ultimately. She's fallen out of love with your personality. And persona is the root of the word personality. That's mask. It's a temporary mask. It was birthed from your childhood. That persona, hence your personality, was of great use to you navigating your childhood, the trauma, the challenges, the profoundly sick society, seeing your mom and dad and hurt and divorce and arguments and all of that hurt. You formed a persona that was brilliant to serve you to get through that insanity growing up. However, it is your persona that your queen falls out of love with. Get that game. So it's not that you need to change. You've got to notice the king, notice the authentic truth, notice the badass that has been holding back since those protective pathways, your persona, that mask. Persona is a mask. You've got to take that mask off and come out with this incredible new identity. This is not loving you. It's bringing your radical authentic truth forward. The masculine impulse of the soul is to live with radical, uncensored, like complete freedom of expression. This is a good thing. Your queen is sort of, her feedback is like, when you get up to speed with the game, guys, she's giving you feedback saying, I've fallen out of love with your persona. It's not you. It never was. But I'm repulsed off you and I want to tap. I want to end this game because you're not getting it. You're not getting that this bullshit that closes off your heart, that constantly goes into argumentative sort of right, wrong, righteous, fucking heart closed bullshit, you know, you're not getting the spiritual point. So she's giving you this ultimate feedback. You've got to rise. But know that identity is repeated beingness. You know, if you repeatedly show up in a new way, that will be your new identity, and your radical authentic self is going to turn her on. Point number two, needy boy to generative king. There can be overlap with some of these points. Going with passion. You've got to birth love through yourself. The needy boy in you is the thing that is also why your queen, after years of it, you know, she's just like, fuck, you know, I can't take it anymore. He's like this needy boy. If I give him any feedback, he takes it as a stinging criticism. I ask for my needs, he gets upset. Then when I don't meet his needs, he gets upset and he's like, feels entitled. I should just be giving him the good wife, this non-specified good wife, which, so just surrender to serving him, loving him, having sex and being open and cleaning up his shit around the place without ever him earning the right to fucking have access to my heart, to my sacred yoni, my sexual center. The needy boy has got to go. This is sort of mindset in the beginning that I'm laying down. The generative king, you know, the needy boy waits sort of, oh, mom, I'm going to cry. I'm going to complain. I'm going to, you know, give me the milk. I cry. I bitch. You give me milk. Entitlement. The generative king takes extreme ownership. And to be generous comes from gene, the root gene, which is to generate. You generate love through yourself. by yourself. You don't need your queen to show up, to speak, to think, to act in a certain way for you to be capable of just generating love in the moment. That's what kingship. She's wanting you to become a source of your own self-love and acceptance for yourself. And from there, you emanate. You are a messenger of love. You transmit love by default, independent of what she's saying. Independent. Remember, she's saying, oh, my heart is blocked off. She might be saying, oh, divorce, that's the only thing. What she's really doing, if there's to be any hope for you to transform it, is she's got to see that it doesn't fucking matter how she shows up. You're there. You're finally dropped in. Your spiritual balls are out of your pelvis. You're embodying love by yourself. That's your way of life. From there, she can feel safe. From there, she can open her heart back up. From there, if you show up consistently, she can miraculously fall back in love. But you've got to drop into kingship. Point number 3. No past, no future. Just an insane amount of moments of potentiality each day. It's presence, guys. Get into the present moment. You know, no past. What I'm talking about here is, you know, lamenting the past. Oh, you've woken up now. You know, you're listening to the podcast now. She gave you feedback for years and years and you never listened to her complaints. You minimize and normalize and now the shit has hit the fan and you're scrambling to get up to speed. It's like lamenting over all the lost time, lamenting and grieving, getting caught in that grief of, oh, you know, and if I could only go back and all that. Cool, man, I get that. That's a natural response, but it ain't worth fucking shit to you. Getting caught in the past of what could have happened, should have happened, how you should have shown up, and hey, throw in resentments of horror. Like you can escape your reality and go, yeah, well, she's to blame for this, and she was such a bitch, and blah, blah, blah. Useless to transform. Definitely will not reconnect horror with her heart of felt love for you. And no more future. This anxiety, oh, but you know, would she love me? And oh, will she ever stop thinking of divorce? Is divorce inevitable? Oh, will she ever, you know, open her heart? Will she ever receive my love? And it's like, it's so hurtful. And I'm full of this anxiety of the future and depression and sadness looking at the past. You have no point of accessing transformation in your future or the past. You got to get on board with this. It's in your present moment. Guys, think about this. When you're thinking of the future, you can't save your marriage in the future. You can't save your marriage in the past. But think about in one day. One day, let's say six, let's do the maths here. Are you like most guys are rational minded men where it's like, oh, I'm a rational minded guy. It's like, I find it so repulsive when she gets so irrational. Cool. Well, you're along with 99% of guys. So if you're so fucking rational, and I trust that you are statistically, most of you are 99%. Let's get super fucking black and white binary on this, guys. Let's say we have roughly 16 waking hours. Most people don't get 8 hours sleep. So some of you probably have 17 or 18 hours. But let's say you get 16, you get 8 hours sleep. So there's 16 waking hours. There's 60 minutes per hour. You're getting up to speed with me? Cool. The maths are pretty fucking simple here. 60 minutes per hour multiplied by 16 waking hours. Let's say that 1 minute is a moment. It's like a minute of time. You're sitting at the table. It's a moment. It's a moment in your day that if you're fully present there, you can be transmitting a message of love, transmitting a message of happiness, transmitting a message of potentiality, of hope, of connection, of joy, of fucking smile, of laughter, of generosity, of compassion. You can be planting. You can be, if you're so awake to it, the maths go like this, 16 times 60 is 960 moments to plant seeds of connection, hope, love, kindness, and all the good fucking feeling shit. And again, if you're in the now, you're not thinking of, oh, but I'm going to do this because I don't want her to break up in future. Again, don't taint your present planting seeds of potentiality with bullshit fear of the future or of lamenting in the past. You just fucking plant seeds of love, of connection, of whatever is digestible within your queen in that moment, in that expression of love. Be creative, but you plant them incessantly. That means, guys, statistically, mathematically, you've got 960 moments every single day that your queen is still under the same roof as you. She's still, you know, playing that at least physically close by connection. You've got that, sort of assuming that that's the scenario for you. 960 moments every day. The only lack you have is creative thinking. did I could go into an entire 1 hour long episode of just like creative things. Send her a fucking message, hug her, kiss her, make her a cup of tea, say I love you, express appreciation. Fucking like that's just get creative. Plant seeds of connection. 960 moments every single day. Make use of them. Number four. This is mindset. Take on a military campaign mindset. Jocko Willink, ex-Navy SEAL commander, guys. He's like, fuck the battles. It's not about the battles, guys. It's about the campaign. You got to be willing to take on a military commander type perspective, guys. You want like any transformation, anything that's great in your life that you want to achieve, you've got to take on that mindset. It's about the campaign. You're going to lose lots of battles. You're going to feel bruised. You're going to feel battered. You're going to be spent. You're going to be exhausted. You're going to come back battle scarred, wounded, licking your wounds. But that's a battle. You can lose a battle and still serve and still win the campaign. Great performers, great athletes, military commanders, leaders, etc. Great husbands. I call the it's heroic husbands men circles. These guys, we take this on board really sincerely. It's a campaign. It's not focus on the campaign, not the battle. There's a beautiful saying in Japanese. It's fall seven, rise eight. Be fucking unstoppable. Boy energy is fall once and cry and like fucking lick my wounds and back off. Hey man, if you do that, just fucking go divorce now. But if you've got to earn the right to win your queen's heart back, and she's going to test where you're coming from. Fall seven, rise eight. Number five. This might seem counterintuitive, but if divorce wishes are there, if she's saying like if it's like the four horses of the apocalypse, really difficult to receive news about her report about where the marriage is at. Let's sort of go with the divorce and fill in where you're at. But like, validate her divorce wishes, validate her feedback. There's no negative feedback. It's like, okay, cool. My old self, you can say, and I'm suggesting this, and it's not too self-disparage, but it's like to get fucking real with where you've been at. It's like, baby, hey, my old self was crap in marriage. I was ignoring you. I didn't listen. I know now I'm awake. The hood was is off my head, baby. I didn't react. I didn't realize how much you loved. I loved you until it was too late, and now I'm beating. No, part of me beating myself up that I didn't wake up in time. But hey, I'm here now. I get it. Why you would want a divorce? That must have been exceptionally painful. I'm sorry for the pain my lack of response caused you. That must have been so hard for you to have to get to owning your desire for divorce, or to get to owning your desire to just call me out in this way. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry it took that, but I'm also simultaneously really grateful for your feedback. But you're totally valid. It's really valid what you're feeling and what you're expressing. I get it. Guys, validate, make her feel seen, heard. That's a it's like it's miracle juice. It's probably flying in the face of how you've been showing up thus far. Validate her divorce wishes or anything she's expressing. Point number six. It's sort of a natural lead on, but listen to your queen. I'm going to say this with a bit more masculine, direct sort of men's work feedback. Shut the fuck up and listen. Boy energy camps out and, oh, but I'm going to listen, but I'm going to mentally masturbate in my mind 24/7, sort of, blaming you, how you're wrong. You're giving me that feedback, but you don't realize that's so hypocritical because you're also guilty of the same thing in a worse way, blah, 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 blah. Or you're beating the shit out of yourself. You get caught in all this self-sabotaging, self-soothing. It feels useful because it just prevents you from owning the totality of how exquisitely vulnerable it is to own your shit in the moment like a king. You just camp out in your mind as she's speaking, like with blame and shame thoughts fucking camping out in your brain in the meantime. No, shut the fuck up. And shut the fuck up means be quiet. Be quiet inside. Listen completely. Get passionately curious about what she has to say. Get passionately curious to know her perspective. If she has closed her heart off to you, I can guarantee you haven't been truly curious about her perspective, honoring her perspective, honoring and accepting this human fact It seems like a paradox in the modern world, because 99.9999% of people don't come from this realization, but two valid truths can exist simultaneously. And if you're in the point where it's like, no, but you don't realize how wrong she is and blah, 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 blah. Cool. How's that working out for you, man? You know, get humble. How's it working out? It doesn't fucking ever work out where you're insisting she's, you know, she's wrong, you're right, get inside, come on. You know, like, it doesn't work, man. That's why you're in the shithole. So if you want to transform your marriage, you better start listening. I love the quote by Ausonius, "He who cannot listen cannot speak." This is why we in heroic husbands, men circles, and those badass kings that are transforming their marriages in incredible ways, we go at it systematically. Own your shit first, say sorry, lack of presence, come back fully correct your presence, drop in, then get curious. Honor her truth first, and only when she has completely, if she feels completely seen and completely heard and safe from your presence, do you land your truth, not the opposite of it. And that's why marriages are transforming so powerfully. That's why every single man in heroic husbands, men circles are having this experience of, wow, just, I never realized I could communicate. Communication could actually be so joyful, could be so connecting, where we come out more powerful from arguments than we went into them. It's like, it's the opposite of their entire marriage experience thus far. Number seven, you can't lead shit in your life until you have clarity of vision. It's your homework to clarify in your mind, in privacy of your own mind, journal it out every single day. What do you want? Boy energy is like bitch energy. It's like, oh, omnipresent, aware of what you don't want. It's like, oh, I fucking hate it when she's like that. Oh, she's always nagging. Oh, is she giving me that feedback? And oh, sex is crap. Like, I wish, and what she should do and shouldn't do, and blah, blah, blah. Boy energy is, you know, so feeling entitled that it should just be getting the good shit, that it gets so obsessive about the shit that they're not getting. It's a boy energy. It's not taking extreme ownership. But 99.99% of husbands have not slowed down to go, what do I want? If this marriage turned around, what would be present in it? So, you know, if everything is shit, recognize it and write down the polar opposite. Get binary, get rational. Oh man, I fucking hate the way she is. She's criticizing me all the time. So I would like her to be appreciating me more often. Well, if you know, what would then you have to do? You'd have to show up in a way that she would naturally appreciate you more often. You know, you empower yourself, but you've got to get clean and clear, get clarity about that vision. Don't be getting caught in what you don't want, because law of attraction, if you keep repeatedly bitching in your thinking, ruminating in your mind, oh man, like after an argument, I can't believe, and she does that again, and blah, 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 blah. That's the only story that your nervous system is chewing on, and that's where it gets so reactive to the next time, and it just is a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's really a destructive pattern. Clarity of vision. Journal every single day what you want to have manifest in your marriage and life. Like, this is beast mode, like a predator hunting down its kill. You got to get masculine beast mode, where cock energy, you're going to penetrate your world, your marriage, your reality to get what you want. You're only focused on that vision. That's leadership. Great leaders in times of absolute chaos, the Gandhis, Nelson Mandelas, you know, great superstars in, you know, sports, in the most chaotic times, in their lowest moments, they hold on to a vision and they lead themselves and everybody towards that. That's why we honor these people, because they have the courage, these men have the courage to practice clarity of focus and pulsate with only that, only that. Especially if she's put the divorce carrot and stick in front of you, saying, hey, car divorce is coming your way, or she has the papers in front of you. It can seem impossible to take your attention from that, but you've got to do it. Hone in. A leader hones in on just the clarity of vision of what he wants. He pulsates that, so that comes to dominate his thinking, his talking, and his taking action. No influence of anything else. Clarity of vision. Number eight, guys. This is like to clean up your energy. You gotta practice extreme ownership, black box thinking. you know that rational part that us as individual men and collectively as men is like, oh, but I'm rational minded. We like to think we're rational minded. Well, this is where you bring that superpower in. Black box thinking, you know, the black box that comes back from plane crashes. Black box thinking is ruthlessly objective thinking, which courageously dissects apart the minutiae, everything that was said, everything that was thought, everything that was done, every single thing with black and white thinking. There's no guilt, there's no bad feelings, there's no anything, because they know they've got to be ruthlessly precise in how they dissect it to get the maximum evidence and ideas and feedback from the crash to learn from. There's you take emotionality out of it. So in this, you're dissecting, you're thinking, you're talking, you're taking action. You take extreme ownership. You know, there might be certain stuff foresight. Of course, there might be, and there inevitably is going to be. But if you're winning whore heart back, you've got to demonstrate that you're taking extreme ownership. Part of that is, you know, the beginning of this is write the list of all the feedback you've ignored down the years. All those times in conflict, all those times of arguments. Get your journal out, going, what the fuck have I ignored? What the hell has she been telling me all down the years that it's like, yeah, I was camping out in my head, I was mentally masturbating, I was saying she was wrong, and I never took ownership. What? But what has she told me? What has she been telling me recently? What are the bugbears for her? From leaving your dirty socks outside the shower to fucking getting violently aggressive emotionally in arguments. You know, don't minimize anything. Don't get unduly avoidant of the heavy shit, like the violent aggressive type shit or the overstepping boundaries sexually or whatever it is. Just black box thinking. But don't ignore what you think to be small. Nothing is small. You avoid nothing. You get ruthless and direct and call your shit out. Write that list down. If she's open to it, depending where she's at, if she's open to it, say, baby, I want your feedback. If she's willing to enter the conversation, seek her fiercest, direct feminine feedback. It's like, I want to be a better man. And if she's like, oh, but here, I'm, if she's at divorce point, it's like, hey, baby, this might come rich for me, and maybe it's too little too late, but I want to be a better man. And if I'm to relate with you, and if you have kids and that, I need to be a better man anyway. So, you know, I'm sorry I didn't take this feedback in the past, but if you could be so good, I'd love your feedback now. You know, where do I need to be a better man, a better communicator? Where do I need to up my act? Like, be ruthless. I want you to be fully safe. You're the woman that knows me best in the world. You know, I didn't take it before. I apologize. I can't go back, but I want it now. And your sincerity of heart, boy. Take the full sting, take the hit to the pride, whatever, but an open, receptive nervous system to full feminine feedback, you're now receiving her greatest gift. It's a highly influential statement of intent within you. Number nine, guys. By the way, just touching base. How are you doing, guys? I'm quite sure there's nuggets for every single one of you in this. If you apply two or three of these ideas, that would be powerful enough with full on maximum extreme ownership, going obsessive with them in the implementation. They could transform your marriage. If you went with the whole list, boy, she'd want to be made of fucking granite, not to be influenced by you. I'm talking about full implementation, like full presence. Number nine, eliminate concentration killers. Concentration is like your capacity to channel your thinking, your talking, your taking action behind that vision we were talking about. That's concentrating, you know, your intentionality into creative mode. So what becomes really essential is to hack substances and activities that kill your concentration. You're looking at, you know, if And I'm coming from the context, but again, no man can ignore these type of signs. Coming in from the context, you're trying to save your marriage. Maybe the shit has hit the fan. Divorce, separation has been spoken about. Maybe the papers have already been served, etc., etc. Man, you cannot ignore this. But I'm going to really like rip all of you guys. Do not allow yourself to get so complacent and go, oh, but she hasn't put divorce in front of me. You know, I'm sort of okay. That's for the other guys. This sort of bullshit that we talk to ourselves is like, oh, other guys have it harder. Like, my marriage isn't so bad. Yeah, I need to up my game. And yeah, we've argued quite a bit. And yeah, the love life mightn't be, but it's like, it's sort of 5, 6 out of 10. It's fucking bullshit. If it's 5, 6, 7 out of 10 in your mind, it's probably 1, 2 in her mind, if she's being really honest. Can't ignore this shit. So, eliminate concentration killers. Really, really, really essential to get fucking real with yourself on this. I'm talking about like porn, social media scrolling, alcohol, drugs, gaming, junk food, anything that numbs your hurting inner child. Yes, you've got a hurting inner child. There's a subconscious thing. There's a deep reason why we go to addictive behaviors. It's not to make you wrong. I'm just saying, if you are self-medicating, self-soothing with substances or activities that drops your presence, that kills your concentration, that kills your capacity to be fully concentrated, fully with your queen, with your kids, fully present at the table, fully present in the evening, in times where she's around you, that shit is killing your marriage. And that shit is not going to allow her feel safe to allow to allow her heart love you again. Once a woman closes her heart, she's been hurt severely, so it's got to be impeccably safe. Eliminating concentration killers like, addictive habits, substances, and activities. Not to, never from a boy energy of, oh, look at me, mom, good boy. Do it for you, man. This is another part of it, like, that change you get into godliness, into kingship. You're doing this ultimately to liberate your own fucking soul from mediocrity, guys. The fact that you've been camping out in emotional, psychological mediocrity is what has blocked her heart off from you in the first place. But don't do it as a boy energy. Look at me, mom. Look at him doing all this good stuff. Well, when are you going to love me? When are you going to love me, mom? And this needy shit. You want to have her back. You don't need her. Let's get clear on this. It's like it's essential that you're coming from a powerful, kingly paradigm. You want to have her back, that's cool. Want and desire, that's kingly. I need to have her back, otherwise I'm going to collapse into shit. And if I do something and she doesn't give me praise and she doesn't give me immediate feedback of, oh, good boy, I'm so appreciative. Oh, you've given up your gaming, or oh, you've given up, watching that TV or like scrolling on the phone. Good boy, I love you. She doesn't give you the immediate feedback. That's boy energy needs this immediate feedback. King energy goes, I'm doing it for fucking me. This is mediocre. This is hurting me. This is sedating my inner child. And if it's bad for marriage, it's bad for me. What numbs your hurting inner child sedates your kingliness. You don't want to play with that shit, guys. This is about you coming into your fullest power. Nothing in between. It's God mode. Really, it's God mode. Ultimately, what your queen wants is your embodied godliness. And the more the shit has hit the fan, divorce, and like her heart is closed off, it's your embodied godliness. I go back to point number one. It's caterpillar to butterfly type change, or nothing else. It's your new identity, persona, your mask ripped off your fucking face, out of your nervous system, and it's godliness. It's this absolute beast mode coming through. And by the way, eliminate concentration killer. Stop thinking about divorce all the time. Stop thinking about the negative shit. There'll be another point of that down the page. So we go to point number 10. Kudos to you. Listening in still. Feeling your love, expressing love and honoring and acceptance of wherever you are at king in your marriage, in your life, in your inner world and outer world, but cranking up that flame, that masculine flame. The masculine growth age is true intense direct challenge. So let's bring it. Number 10, your highest leverage focused presence moments. What the fuck am I talking about there? I'm talking about presence, if then pre-commitments. Like, what are the highest leverage moments in your day in relationship with your queen to, like, it's go time to get super present? Conversations. If she opens her mouth, get present. I'm telling you, get present. Practice being attent. If it's just for a moment, if you're running out the door, it's like if you're late, but it's like she speaks, hey honey, can you get this thing on in town on the way back? Stop momentarily. You're not a fucking heart surgeon, and if you are, she wouldn't be asking you like a fucking mundane thing. If you're running off to heart surgery, if you're a fireman on the way out there, she's not going to ask you mundane shit. But it's like our queens, you have done it, I have done it for years and years and years, where we have this, well, is this serious? Are we really talking about this? It's like, is this really important? Can you not see I'm going out the door? I'm on mission, mom. I'm already in the car. I'm already mentally at work. Guys, if she speaks, get fucking present. Again, you want to win your wife's heart back? You got to show up in with God levels of presence, with Dalai Lama type presence. I used to lament my queen. I've shared this before. It's like I used to have my Dalai Lama dilemma. I used to say to her in arguments, it's like, oh man, you just want me to be like the Dalai fucking Lama when I say anything. Like, I give you feedback. I have to have already processed it. Like, that's bullshit. I then suddenly realize it's like that's the greatest gift possible. She's actually setting a standard that seems impossible. But you know what? It was impossible to my boy bullshit bitch energy mentality at the time, which was birthed from when? My childhood. When I stripped that shit off and went, cool. Dalai Lama presence you want? Dalai Lama presence you get. Now, my practice is, and this transformed my marriage, is like the highest leverage focus presence moments is if my queen speaks, I get fully present. It's high leverage. It's meaningful for her. Parenting. She's looking on. She's wanting to see. It's like, is he leading our kids? Is he dramatically better? It's go time. Any parenting, don't avoid that shit. Don't go with grumpy ass bullshit energy that you received growing up from your dad, your stepdad. Don't repeat that shit. Open-hearted presence. It's go time. Your kids need you. If there's, shit going down, if they're irrationally emotional and it seems a bit chaotic, bring godly presence, fully present with the situation, listening. Go silent. Listen, get curious. Then and only then speak your truth. Shoot, it's go time. Welcome home and goodbye. Recency, the our greatest memories are, when we come in home, when you finally come home, it's like in films, it's like, oh, home time, and it's like it's like, how would you welcome a queen if she's coming home or you're coming in the door? You greet your queen like you're coming back from war. And it's like, oh God, it's like it's what a beautiful thing. You're the woman I love in the world. Like, again, context, guys, you're trying to win this woman's heart back. And those of you that are like sitting on the fence going, oh, but my marriage is good and that, it's like, well, you gotta fucking intensify it. Get fucking real, listen in. When you say, welcome home to your queen coming in the door, or you're saying goodbye in the morning or whenever it is, they're key moments for absolute presence. Coming in, welcome home, baby. It's good to see you. Oh, you're looking good. Or, you touch base and empathize, ask them how their day was. You're fully there. Make her know that you're noting she's the most important woman in the world. Get fucking fully present, and you say goodbye. It's like you're a samurai going off to war. You don't know if you get to see this woman again. You say goodbye from there. You kiss her from there, fully present. Good morning, good night. Hey man, same thing. These sacred moments. When you say good morning, fucking mean it. Get fully present. No mundane, caught in your head bullshit. Fully present. Be with her. Smile, consciously smile. Oh, but I don't feel happy. Go fuck yourself. Like, that's fucking boy energy. Bring it. When you don't feel love, love is not a verb, by the way. Relate to love as, no, love is not a noun, excuse me. Love is a verb. It's something you do. And you generate love, like that point up the page. You generate love. If it doesn't feel like it's there, you fucking dragged, you get to the bottom, the pit of your soul, and you fucking bring it out. Bring out the goods. Number 11. Consistency. You can be a good boy. Boy energy can be a good boy. It's like, oh, I'm going to do all these things. I listened to this podcast, and Mark gave me all these ideas and a clarity of vision, and I took extreme ownership, and I cut out like my beer for the evening, and I did that for an evening. It's like, good boy. You did your homework for an evening. Like your mom should really say, oh, good boy. You did all your homework by yourself. I didn't even have to ask you to do anything. Good boy. Kingliness is consistency. You can do any of this, any of you can fucking bang out an afternoon, an evening, a day, even a weekend. But weekend warrior mode is bullshit. Consistency to win your queen's heart back. If she's blocked her heart off, if she's went cold, if there's a cold shoulder, cold front meeting you, maybe divorce papers, whatever it is, if you're to win her heart back, you've got to dig deep. She is doing the natural, beautiful, spiritual feminine challenge, which is, dude, it's the Himalayas in front of you. You've got like 20 kilometers of granite wall to chip through. You've got to prove that you've got the humility to do whatever is necessary. And that, my friend, the price you've got to pay to win your queen's heart back is consistency. Every single moment of every single day, for as long as it takes to win her heart back, she's testing you to see, is he real? Or is he just coming with the entitled boy who's been a good boy and he's going to carve out, oh, he was good for a weekend. We went away for a weekend, but now he's pretending that we're all back. We're all good. Like everything is forgiven. It's not. Consistency is her greatest test of your courage, of your love, of your sincerity, of your kingship, of your heroic power, of your living embodiment and proof to her that this is a different beast. This is not the same shit, different day stuff. It's not a burp of, you know, boyish sort of like enthusiasm. No, I'm challenging him incessantly and he's proving it's a different fucking beast. Okay, I can open my heart back up. I can feel safe. It's a good thing when you're that consistent that she naturally starts. We hear this in heroic husbands all the time. When a woman, when a beautiful queen changes from like giving a guy sort of shit, if you want to say, like ferocious feedback, like stay away from me too, but how long will this last? Their heart is opening back up. They're softening. They're like, oh my God. Hey, within heroic husbands, men's circles, it's such a particularly supportive environment when you have conscious men going 10 out of 10 every day of every week of their lives from when they enter that group to embody the highest level of loving consistency. Against every one of those men end up reformulating, reconfiguring their nervous system to get turned on, to get super in their power, in their strength, more powerful, more confident, more courageous, the more stern the feminine testing is. Their queens start going, but how long is this going to last? And do you know how men answer that question? Not with the words, with consistency. Number 12. I'm going to slow down and get a quick drink of water here, guys. So much passion. I have to say that to you guys. So much desire. Like, to speak to you, my deepest desire is to have 10 million husbands listening in the next 4.5 years. At the end of 2027, I have 100,000 heroic husbands in heroic husbands men's circles around the world. It's a tall order, but it's like pure passion. This is like absolute purpose, and I can't, like, just... That's the vision. There again, clarity of vision. That is happening. Don't know how. It's happening though. It's happening. It already is happening. But it comes from so much passion that very often I forget to fucking drink. I slow down. Lots of love. Lots of intentionality for you. To have a fucking major win in your marriage. You deserve it. Your queen desires it. And hey, better husbands today. Better world tomorrow. It's good fucking shit that we're all doing here together. Point number 12. Clean up your energy. In heroic husbands, we say this quite often. It's part of the culture. Get into your body and then. What that means is get out of your head. Most men camp out so much, like 99.9% of their lives in their head, mentally masturbating, thinking. You know, we're human beings, but we're not being, we're doing. Doing and thinking, doing. Get into your body and then. Ideas of that is like, you know, before you connect with your queen in the evening, when you come in from work or first thing on a Saturday, or, you know, maybe you're after a job or whatever it is, if you know yourself caught in your head, get into your body. Like, start cold showers, Cold shower is my favorite thing. 1 minute, 2, 3 minutes in a cold shower, quick dry off. Man, you're fresh. You're in your body. Your whole heart brain, gut brain, it's exploded open. You're going to be feeling way more intensely energized. It takes 3 minutes. So it's like coming in, you feel stagnant, you feel tired, you feel sluggish. Man, you could be upset. You could be like feeling depressed. You could be feeling a little bit hopeless. I mean, this ferocious feedback she's giving you, assessing is she putting the challenge up to you. When you notice that, you're like, okay, my energy is not at a level of enthusiasm, of presence, of concentrated focus. You know, I'm just not there. Take action. You got to clean your energy up. You really have got to clean your energy up. You know, it doesn't matter what my words are here. It's not my words. Okay, there's certain informational benefit, but it's my energy. If I'm not passionate, if I'm not present, if I'm not fully switched on, if I don't have this natural tsunami of enthusiasm to serve these words on, guys, you wouldn't listen for more than 2 minutes of your first episode that you listen in. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you around the planet listening in, actually incessantly, like waiting and listening in every diligently, every week, two episodes and going back through the library, etc., etc. It's the energy. Very often my energy is just isn't quite there. I have a quick cold shower before I jump down. Another idea is to jump down, push out 20, 30 push-ups. Just drop in, do some fire breath work. Just super quick Wim Hof breath work. Go for a jog if you've time. Start doing a bit of yoga, meditate, do whatever that cleans up your energy. And then when you're in your body, from there when you speak, from there when you smile, from there when you kiss her, from there when you appreciate her, from there you're going to be more present, you're going to be more in flow with the natural energy of your queen, of your kids, of the universe. It'll be received more naturally by her. Most men don't do any of that, so start doing it, obsessing on it. Point number 13, by the way, just if you're wondering here of timing, we sort of 4 points left. Honoring your intentionality, your power to be with this conversation and keep it sort of conversational. I know you can't speak to me, but I'm leaning in. I'm speaking like I'm imagining speaking with you directly, man. We're all in this together, individually and collectively. Powerful, potent, heroic husbands around the planet that show up to this platform, to this digital campfire experience and conversation, to tap into your sacred masculine power, to embody a love that is so fucking potent that your queen's nervous system can't but open her heart back up. That's what we're talking about. It's the only fucking way. Feel that power, guys. Number 13, the 95.5% rule. No matter how bad it seems, if 95% of your reality, and I'm talking about worst case, she's just dead. It's like, you know, there's the divorce papers. She's blocked her heart. She's saying no more. That's it. It's done. You know, like maximum a couple of conversations about parenting and finances. That's it. There's no hope. And you're like, man, listening in going, dude, you don't realize how fucking bad my life has become. I'm just going to fucking answer you back and say, dude, you've no idea how intense my marriage transformation was. Were they like the levels of winning my queen back, brother? I can speak with such passion now because, you know, I've went to the pit of suicidality. I've went to from the pit of depression, of hopelessness, of profundity. And what got me through was the 95.5% rule. So no matter how bad you have it, I've 0% fucking sympathy, 100% empathy. I couldn't give two fucks from a level of sympathy. You're a powerful king. You've got this. But if you feel sorry for yourself, dude, tap. Get out of the octagon of marriage anyway. Because if you feel sympathy for yourself, that's boy energy. King energy is 0% sympathy. Empathize with yourself, but get the fuck in the arena. The 95.5% rule is this. If 95%, could be 99%, could be 50, could be 80, you get it. But if it seems like 95% of your reality is total shit, it's bad. It's all bad. It seems like it's impossible. It doesn't seem that there's even a sliver of hope. But if you look around, if you're really looking for hope, that's the 5%. The 95.5% rule is, if you put 100% of your focused attention and intentionality into the 5% that is good, that is positive. And it might be, hey, I've got one more week to stay under the same roof, same bed as her. Maybe it's just under the one roof. I don't know how long is left, but there's a few months, whatever. But we're talking, yeah, we're talking about these topics. She doesn't want to go there and those other topics, but we're talking on these topics. And yeah, there's a connection there. That's your 5%, man. If you put 100% of your focused attention and thus your intentionality into the 5% of positivity that's available, 100%, that means 100% of your nervous system's reality, live reality, in a moment-to-moment basis, remember all those moments, 960 moments in the day, but you put 100% of your attention into 5%, now 100% of your nervous system's feeling is on positivity. Oh, but it's that bad, you don't realize, and she's saying these things. I couldn't give a fuck, man. You gotta dig deep. You gotta get the horses, the wild horses of your monkey mind, and you gotta get those wild horses, and you gotta get the reins, and you gotta pull, you gotta channel that shit in. Great masculine leadership is taking control of your mind first, and then from there is your power of potentiality, your power of positive influence. Again, extreme ownership. Guys, 95, 5%. Oh, but 95 is so bad. Couldn't give two fucks. Feeling sorry, focusing on that. How's that working out for you? It's not. Put 100% of your energy into the good shit. A really actionable thing, which is super potent, is once, twice a day, obsess on this. Take 10 minutes, depending how bad it is. If it is properly only 5%, or if it seems like exceptionally small, it's like a tiny crack of hope, of possibility, man, quadruple down, do half an hour. I have done this myself, guys. This is how I dug myself out of great holes of hopelessness when, man, tapping, going, hey, my queen leaves, she goes back to Italy, how can I ride that out? I can work independently, digital nomad, blah, 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 blah. Total fucking depression session. But I only started transforming it when I put 100% of my thinking, and thus my talking and my taking action, which emerges. Talking and taking action comes from where my mind is thinking, where it's putting its attention on. I did positive aspects daily journaling for 20 minutes, half an hour per day for months. Did it sort of long term. I tip back to it every now and then, but I just got military type focused. Like I was training my nervous system. 5%, 100% of my attention. What am I grateful for? What do I appreciate? What's the positive aspects of my queen? Oh, that conversation. Oh, but she said this and this. Don't fucking go there. Don't go to the bad shit. But she did say this and she did compliment you in that. And she did say that we could do that thing with the kids together tomorrow. Cool, positive aspects. Guys, my nervous system was now focusing on the good shit, so I'm feeling better. You start focusing on the good shit. Funny enough, what does your nervous system give you? Good feeling neurotransmitters, which gives you enthusiasm, which gives you hope, it gives you playfulness, which gives you humor, which gets you into flow, which, like, think about the one above, it's like gets you no past, no future. You're now in the moment, you're just feeling joy, and the heaviness has lifted. And now your queen is like, he's not so fucking heavy and stuck in his head. Man, it was fucking heavy as fuck for months, for years. I wanted to get rid of this son of a gun, and look at him now. Why is he's so light and juicy, God. And then the twinkle in the eye comes, and now she smiles accidentally, and you're like, oh, I don't know how it happened. I know how it happened. You wrestled your fucking nervous system and your mind down, and you said, dude, the only way we're going to steer this ship and this nervous system is to positive aspects, daily, moment-to-moment focus. What's the good shit that's alive? Marriages fall apart, guys, when we end up in unwittingly over the years. There's nobody that has got away from this. If you're listening into this podcast, you're codding yourself. You're trying to pull the wool over your eyes. AKA bullshit yourself. If you say that, oh no, but like I predominantly was focused on the positive. It was whore. Bullshit. Your mind subconsciously was like jacking off at like blaming her and judging her and all that. You'd be ripped asunder in front of me, in front of the heroic husband's men circles. All that bullshit does not survive. We do the five pillars. We do like, where are you in points of conflict, blaming and shaming? There's no positive aspects in conflict in 99.999% of marriage communication. So 95.5% rule, major Bahamut of one. This will turn around miraculously. Just this one. Just this one. But boy, I just want you to fucking get, like, I've learned this the hard way. This is like tons of shit that I carved out my marriage, and then I started working with guys little bit by little bit, one on one, and then now in the heroic husband's men circles. This shit works. But only if you implement it. Ain't worth fucking shit if you don't have the cock and balls and the spiritual energy. If your spiritual balls don't descend out of your pelvis and you get into the arena. Leading into number 14, fearless in conversations. Could have been number one, should have been number one, last but not least, while coming near the end. You got to be fearless in conversations. Boy energy. Oh, but mom could get upset with me. And hey, man, we all, individually and collectively, we all learn to fear our mothers. We didn't have our dads around, vast majority, even if they were physically around, they weren't fully present. So we got dominated by learning about life through the feminine lens of the world. Blah, 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 blah. I've spoke to it before. We end up fearing feminine rejection and judgment and all the rest. It has that one thing. Fearing feminine rejection, criticism, heart closure, she doesn't love me. That is what's killing your marriage. So to transform it, you've got to flip that coin and go, okay, well, if the shit hasn't already hit the fan in your marriage, but if you're listening into this one and you want to transform and win your queen's heart back, the only fucking way, man, is just dropping the balls and getting super courageous. Get 10 out of 10. Courage. If you feel you need to say it, just take a chance, take a deep breath and say it. Your woman is a super potent being and she can contain anything that you will say, but you got to drop your spiritual balls and say it with 10 out of 10 courage. And man, just breathe through the response. Yeah, there might be resentment. Yeah, there might be pain. Like a lot of you, like myself, you've got more than a decade, some of you several decades, no better, no worse. It just depends when you're tucked the fucking head, you're tuck the mask off your face, the hood off your head, whatever we say metaphorically, to wake the fuck up. There's a lot of momentum in her nervous system if she's blocked her heart off to you. But it's only fearlessness in conversations. Again, intimacy, practice intimacy. Into me, you see. These are my desires. This is what I want. I'm doing my journaling. I want you. I want to have. I don't need you. I want you. I want to have this in my life. These are my needs, my desires. What are yours? Be courageous. Own. Say sorry. Get feedback. Be fearless. Fearlessness is, and practice courage. 10 out of 10 courage in every single moment, man. It's that or that. 10 out of 10, or just pack up the bags. Fucking just leave it off. Like, it's all in. It's the only way. That's the way of the heart warrior. Number 15. Coming close to landing, guys. Honoring you for sticking the distance on this. Greet the emergent goddess no matter what. If your queen has blocked off her heart to you, she is protecting the most precious thing inside of her. It's like this candle flame. It's sort of in you as well. Is this hope? Is her authentic truth? And if she's blocked off her heart with you, she has made some value judgment that it's like she believes it's never going to be safe with you to bring her full authentic truth into life. And that's why she will contemplate 2 years divorcing you and then finally go for it. What brings her over that is like, I've got a life to live and I've got to bring my authentic truth and I call that her emergent goddess, her truth, her spiritual truth to just live unapologetically in an unboxed reality where she doesn't have to be imprisoned by predominantly your rational minded sort of, let's limit this woman and bring her into a containable part where I can understand her in a black and white way. It's fucking horrific for the feminine soul. So number 15, and like this is like a Bahamut of one, you can't avoid this shit, is you've got to greet her emergent goddess. Love her, appreciate her, honor her, be enthusiastic, be passionately at her side, be passionately supportive of her authentic truth. And her authentic truth, again, like the other points, could be ferocious feedback, but it's like, baby, wow, you fucking turn me on when you're so powerful. Give me that feedback. Only a powerful woman, a powerhouse of woman, can give feedback like that. I love, yeah, I'm sorry that I wasn't able to witness this, but you're just so powerful. You're like a true goddess. You're being a goddess now. I love that power. I want to see more of that. And like, she might test you and go, yeah, but we're never going to get it as a husband. Man, have the spiritual power. If you love her, you want to see, like, true love is wanting to see the other person in the relationship shine no matter what. You want to see them fly no matter what. Even if that means the disconnect from marriage with you. If your love is that powerful, and this is the type of unconditional love that has a miraculous effect on the human system. If she feels like, man, he's surrendered, he's loving me no matter what. Like, and don't do it. She'll feel that you're indifferent. If it's like, oh, but you go, girl, you know, like, yeah, divorce, whatever, you know, it's like, but the most important thing, baby, is you fly. She's gonna be like, is he fucking kidding me? He's not even feeling heartbreak. He's not desiring or saying he wants me. Well, okay, the indifferent bastard. It's like, it's total bullshit. No, you got to honor her with your, hey, baby, I want you. I'd want to be with you more than anything if I could make that possible. But yeah, counterbalance it with, baby, the most important thing is I've woke up after years slumber, years being, you know, blind. I just want you to fly no matter what. Baby, if the container of marriage with me is not the place to be, I'm going to love you anyway. It's an honor and a privilege to witness your unfolding fucking beauty and goddessery, your goddess nature and what you bring to life. Man, you light up the room like you always did, but I never saw it. Hey, that's on me. That's on me, baby. But the me of today, it's like your new husband, the new me. Maybe it's not a husband long term, but the new me can see and takes great joy and pleasure in having the honor and privilege of knowing you. And whatever that's meant to be, I want to see you thrive. I want the me of today, baby, wants to see you thrive, wants to see you feel radically alive, wants to see you in an environment in life that you create an environment and a supportive group of people around you that loves and accepts you for who you are, and that you stop and nothing to bring your radical, authentic truth. True. Unboxable, untamable, be the goddess, girl. That's what I want. Hey, I'm not going to limit you in a box anymore. You fly. With that level of sincerity, where you can practice, and this is intense, guys, but you got to practice. If you truly love somebody, it's like great parenting. I know it's not a parent-child relationship, but a great parent allows their child fly free, no matter how painful it is. You got to be that, access that sort of limitless love, unconditional love, to make her feel safe and feel your sincerity. Very important part. Coming into landing, number 16. Is this the most important one? Quite possibly. If the shit has hit the fan, if your back is against the wall, if your woman is giving you ferocious feedback, if divorce papers are there, if her feedback is and has been for a long period of time of, you know, putting the gauntlet down in front of you and you have not been responding, I don't want to be unkind, but I can't afford to be unclear. I say that again and again. The male capacity, us as husbands, we have a profoundly fucked up, screwed up capacity to radically underestimate how bad the situation is. Really. I can guess that if all of you were listening in the crowd, I could look at you and go, yeah, he's not feeling the intensity of this. He's sort of feeling that. He has his thing in under wraps. He's listening in, sort of like, oh, I just want to sort of like, you know, just get a couple of ideas, you know, bring a little bit more heat. But we're sort of good, you know. Like, well, I'm like, man, if you're queen, guys, if there's 1,000 of us like in the room, and I was doing this, and you were there, and it was like, okay, self-analyze on a scale of 1 to 10, where you're at in marriage, in your communication style, in your intimate skills, in the bedroom. In, you know, all the different aspects of your relationship, and all the guys, you'd write down your scores and you'd be like, yeah, you know, sort of, have you been honest? And you're like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, this is hypothetical, it's like, can never be possible. If, like, if all of a sudden it was like, oh, and I like roll back the curtains, and it's like, all your wives, your queens came in, and they're like, right, guys, show your queen the feedback. show your queen where you think you believe your marriage is at. Not many of what ye guys have written down would correspond with her scores. It'd be like, are you fucking kidding me? You put yourself at a 5 in communication? Man, you're at 1. And I'm being kind. I'd say minus 10 if it weren't people and I didn't want to come across like a bitch. You know, it's like, really, you're not there. There'd be a lot more ferocious feedback coming through. You know, if you're trying to win your queen's heart back, I can't overstate, overemphasize. I really can't overemphasize. I want to get it into the culture here that you hear it so regularly that your nervous system at some point goes, yeah, he's actually fucking talking to me every single time he says that. That sneaky background part of your mind, of your persona, that goes, yeah, this is really for the other guys. You know, those other poor bastards that are listening in. You know, those other poor bastards, they probably have been so shit, so mediocre that, yeah, they're probably feeling the pain. Man, you're like the captain on the Titanic. Most guys are like the captain on the Titanic, where the arrogance is like, we can't be stopped. This is going to keep going on no matter what. We've just the biggest damn ship. This is unsinkable. We didn't even put fucking, and you don't put life rafts on the side of it or enough of them, because it's like, it's unsinkable. Don't be like the fucking captain. Don't be like the arrogance of the Titanic. That mindset is like, it's omnipresent. It's all pervasive in the mindset of husbands. And I want you. Yes, you. I don't have your fucking name. Todd, John, Mickey, Andy. Whatever your name is, man. I wish I could have your name and surname so I could just say it. If I had the technology to do that, that would have that startle effect of, oh, fuck, how did he do that? To wake you up and go, I'm talking to you. It's driving me insane. It's my deepest grief is just hearing how men are so much like I was, you know, 4.5 years ago. Like the arrogance on the Titanic. Oh, my marriage, it's okay, it's fine. A lot to done, a lot more to do. Yeah, it needs work, but we're good. You know, fucking totally bullshitting myself as I was going full steam ahead to a motherfucking iceberg that was going to rip the shit out of the structure of my marriage. I made it true, but I made it true with what? Cooperation, with support. Guys, unapologetically, there's been a wave of guys who have made applications to come into Heroic Husbands Men Circles. The applications are for the last opening in 2023. Just looking at my diary here to make sure I get that date correct. The last applications close for that entry, that intake, in that week on November 3rd. There have been a wave of applications come in. Do not miss out. If you are at the point of like really wanting, really feeling the need and the pressure and the intensity to win your queen's heart back, man, lone wolfing, not a good idea. I'm just really needing to get this into this culture. Lone wolfing is not a badge of honor. Every single man that's in Heroic Husbands Men Circles, like they're all saying the exact same thing. It's not a badge of honor. Get cooperation, get support to support your nervous system. There's no more intense challenge as a man to transform your inner world, your emotionality, your capacity, your presence to win your queen's heart back. I don't know of any more intense challenge that you have to meet. It's really fucking horrifically suffocating. It's the challenge of a lifetime. It's the hero's journey of all hero's journey. Getting support. Get your applications in. In that way, I'm going to read a beautiful testimony. Don't take it from me. This is coming in from Andrew Grist. This is his testimonial. Andrew is a member of Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. He's in there about 4 months. This is what Andrew has to say about the experience. No matter where you are in your marriage, this group creates an ownership that lays the foundation for a king to move forward in any relationship. I am gaining a better understanding of working from within rather than focusing on what I am going without. My wife and I are reaching levels of conversation that I did not think I was capable of prior to joining this group. Strong back, soft front. Enough said. Some of the personal benefits are being more open to others' perspectives outside of my own. I'm taking responsibility and I'm having it reciprocated, and I'm recovering from tough conversations faster. The men that I have met by being a part of this group is one of the main benefits. Strong men that can hold accountability and understanding to a high standard. If you are looking to take your life to another level, you can't do it alone. It takes a team of brothers to help, support and guide one another. I was hesitant to join, but now that I am here, there is no way I can go back. Said impeccably and with absolute perfection by Andrew Grist. Thank you, Andrew, for that. Kingly brothers, heroic husbands, the gauntlet is set before you. I absolutely believe that no matter what situation is showing up in your marriage, it's my absolute belief. I've come back from, you know, the pits of hell in my own marriage. I've seen, and I'm seeing more and more guys successfully do the same. I believe it is possible for you. I believe in you. I believe you've got kingship and you've got heroics and a profound depth of strength and power and courage in you that, hey, you've yet to realize just how fucking potent you are. Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, the gauntlet is there, man. Get your application in today. Don't miss the next intake. Get yourself into the perfect environment to bring forward your greatest power and potentiality to become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship before the end of 2023. In perfect alignment with the Mantra Offer movement, this entire episode has been a pleasure to produce, to bring open-heartedly and passionately to you. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful Kingly Day. Heads up, kings. Don't miss the only opportunity left to join Heroic Husbands Men's Circles in 2023. Go from feeling that your best will never be good enough to becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Applications for the last intake of new members in 2023 are open until November 3rd. Apply to join by clicking the link in the podcast episode description. There are limited spaces available, so don't miss out by applying to join now.